Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 13 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. This week, we'll be talking about how mental health affects different aspects of our life, like marriage and things like that. So before we start, we're going to remind you guys that we're not medical professionals. Anything we say here is just our opinion, and anything that we do to help calm ourselves down or to change our way of thought are just mere suggestions. Reach out to your doctor if you'd like to try them. Do not go off your meds at any time before talking to a medical professional. And if you feel like you're at your absolute end of your rope, Joyelle's going to give you some phone numbers to help you there. Joyelle.
Yep. So if you're feeling suicidal or need somebody to talk to, you can call, in Canada, you can call the hotline at 1-833-456-4566, or you can send a text message to 45645. And in the US, you can call 988 or text talk to 741-741. So please reach out or to these numbers or text or talk to someone. And on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. As always, our email is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, lowercase. So you can always reach out to us about any questions that you have or subject topics that you would like. Or, of course, you can always leave a message on our Facebook page under the same name. And today's quote is, "Depression is feeling like you've lost something, but having no clue when or where you last had it. Then one day you realize what you lost is yourself." And personally, I absolutely love that quote just because it's honestly the realization that I came to after having my little breakdown. Or it was exactly that. Like, you don't notice when you're losing yourself. It just happens so gradually that it's like a little chip falls off here, a chunk over there, another little fracture over here. And then before you know it, like, who you are is just gone, like on some sort of vacation without leaving a forwarding address or anything. But it takes a long time to realize that. You just think that you're, or at least for me, I just felt like I was broken and I couldn't figure out why or what happened or when it happened. It just was like, oh, well, I guess this is how I've always been. Like, I don't remember anything different until, for me, going through therapy was when I kind of realized, like, had that realization of, oh, I lost myself somewhere along the way, like where there were little parts of me that just kind of slid off. And now I'm kind of like picking them back up and being like, oh, you go right here. Oh, and this puzzle piece goes right here. Oh, I didn't even know I lost you. You go here. And kind of like picturing putting myself together, kind of like a 3D model.
And when you say pieces, I don't know how you see your pieces. For me, when I lost pieces of myself, it was my respect for myself.
Mm-hmm.
My self-worth, loving myself, my body image, my overall image, my friendships,
yes,
my relationship with my husband, my relationship with my kids. Those were pieces that I lost I'm still trying to find some of them.
I think so. I feel the same way, that those are the pieces that I feel mm-hmm. lost. And I feel that as you're putting yourself back together, you find pieces don't fit anymore.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I completely agree with that. Like, things that used to fit in places, like picking up something. I can't think of one very quickly off of the top of my head because panic.
Well, just friendships even.
Well, yeah.
Friendship is a good one.
Thank you. That's a very good one. So like picking up a piece and you're like, oh, well, this used to be, and like, you'll find it. It could be like, not that our listeners can see my hands, but it's a very big piece.
It's a mason jar.
There we go. It's a mason jar size. Thank you. And you're like, oh, this used to be a really big piece of me. And then you kind of look around and you're like, well, that doesn't fit anywhere anymore. And it seems like it's kind of black and tarry and toxic. This used to be a part of me. And then you realize it was the narcissist that used to be in your life that helped cause some of the pieces to shatter upon impact on hitting the ground. If you're like the self-worth, like that was one of the hardest ones, I think, for me, just because I questioned it so much at the beginning, where it's like, oh my God, am I a horrible person? Did I actually say horrible things? Am I asking too much? Am I being like too demanding? Oh my God, I think too highly of myself, like all those kind of things. And it's just kind of like filled the mason jar where you're like, okay, and here's some more black tar going right on into here till it overflowed. And then you're like, I'm going to put this down here.
Yours was a mason jar. Mine was an oil drum.
Yes.
I don't know what mine is, because I feel I'm still dealing with a couple narcissists that are really affecting my, still to this day, my self-worth.
Yeah.
And my self-image and I can't think of the word.
Self-love?
self-love and my worth, it'll come to me.
She'll shout it out in the middle.
I'll just shout it out.
Armageddon.
I figured it out.
No, I feel exactly the same way that you ladies feel. And Taylor, when I said that mine was an oil drum, I'm not lying. My oil drum had 50% tar, and 50% consumable fuel.
Yep.
I really needed to take that tar and put it in a separate container and ask myself, is it worth being dragged to the bottom of the ocean with this drum of tar? Because I said to friends, sometimes I struggle with depression, and they blew me off.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have a narcissist who thinks that they can do no wrong and they will never apologize for anything in their life. It took me a very long time to evaluate if I wanted to keep that drum of tar or if I just wanted to use my consumable fuel.
Mm-hmm.
My consumable fuel is the people I talk to on a daily, a bi-daily, a weekly. The tar people, ooh, that'd make a good movie. The tar people are people I talk to on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Well, the blob.
And and it's not because I start the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where in between those two barrels, I found my mason jar of self-worth.
Yes.
And I needed that mason jar of self-worth back in my soul to say, you don't need those tar people. You have your consumable fuels. You love them and they love you.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditionally.
Yes.
And that unconditionally is such a big word to feel. Because I realized I didn't have that with the tar.
Mm-hmm.
There was no unconditionally, because as soon as things changed, it was no longer, I love you to pieces. You're my best friend. Hey, Dana. The nicknames were gone.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes were gone. The sharing of funny memes in private chats were gone.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped being relevant to them when I said I had mental health issues.
Yes.
So yeah, I am letting that barrel sink slowly to the Mariana's Trench.
Yes.
The deepest part of the ocean floor. And I'm not going with it. I'm floating on the top like a water lily.
Oh, I like that.
I think that my mental illness led to me realizing that most of my life has been tar.
Yeah.
My barrel's been with tar. And mm-hmm. that, and what I thought was, like you put it, like consumables, truly were not.
Yeah, it was far more toxic than you thought that it was.
Yeah, there is nothing. So I don't have a lot of support because the people that I had surrounded myself with really, truly weren't supportive. I guess I just wore those rose-colored glasses.
I think we all look for like the best in the situations. Like you don't want to, I think it's like one of those things, like there's multiple angles to it, but you don't want to be in our own minds, at least for me, you don't want to be the negative person. So you're like, oh no, they're supporting me. Like they're being helpful. And
yeah, and I think nice. I think it was more like, I didn't want to be alone. So it's better to just put up with this.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, with my dad, that situation, it's like, well, my sister's on the other side of the world. I don't really have, because I don't have any other brothers or sisters. I don't really have a lot of family. So if I don't put up with my dad, then what do I have?
I think that's when it becomes important to have like friends like the three of us, because it goes from being. Like, I still remember the night that I put up that post about being depressed and how quickly you two just jumped right into the fire. And you're like, boink, we're right here. Let's go to breakfast. And
food solves everything.
It does, damn it. And it was that instant feeling for me of, I'm not alone. Like, yes, I have my mom, but there's always that thought in the back of my head, like she's been sick twice and almost died both times. And that realization that it's like, okay, like parents aren't meant to live obviously the same amount of time as we are because they're older and they had us first.
Yeah, but they're not meant to die in their 50s either.
Yes, no. I definitely agree with that. But it still like brought that realization. It's like, okay, I definitely need to make sure that I have not just friendships in general, but quality friendships, like ones that I can actually lean on when something happens. So I have you two, I have my sister. And it's interesting because when this all went down, I had described to my ex-fiance and to my sister too, that I had felt like I was being pulled, like, I can't even remember what movie it is, but there's tar pits and there's people coming out of it, like trying to reach. And I felt like that was me. I was being pulled down into the pits of tar. And it was coating my body and I just like, it felt disgusting and heavy. And like, I wanted to give up and just go into the darkness and be done with it. And the ex was obviously no help, as it was, she was causing part of the issue and wasn't being supportive and adding on to the tar. It's like, oh no, it's just you. Whereas my sister's like, nope, let's grab onto you. She's like, no, I'm not leaving you into the tar pit. Like, you're coming with me. Come on. We're in this for life. Let's go. And like her, you guys, my one of my best friends from Montana, all of you guys. I have like another one over in, I now can't think of where the hell she's from. Europe. And
over there.
Yeah, over there, the Scandinavian area. And I know that I have you guys that if something happens, I can easily reach out either online, phone calls for you to like show up. Well, even for my sister, I could technically show up at her door and be like, I'm here, I'm broken. But it took multiple support systems to be able to pull free of the tar because I had fallen right into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting free of it and then trying to like wash it off and the sticky substance where you're like, okay. And it's just, if you think of the sticky substance as all of the issues that we end up with it, I now want to know why you're giggling over there.
No, you don't.
Oh, I do. And I expect an explanation after this recording is done.
She's looking at porn.
I knew it. The sticky substances. Something you about guys, Mary.
Yeah, exactly. I wash the sticky substance off my face. I'm like,
look, I'm a lesbian. I'm not used to this.
Why is it on my face like this? Why won't it wash off?
So let me
just sugar.
let me ask you, Joyelle. Do you find, okay, do you feel now that, I'm not trying to toot mine and Taylor's horns here, but like you know you have us and at any given moment can reach out to either one of us or the both of us, and it's just going to be a matter of mere minutes before we're either at your door talking to you on the phone, you know, like do you feel that has helped alleviate some of the tar in your bucket to give you a little bit more of the consumables?
I do, because before I didn't have anyone to say anything to. And so, yeah, I know that you guys know how I'm feeling and stuff. So that's what I was going to say, as you get older too, and when you're suffering from mental illness, it's hard to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to find that support, like people that will support you and that will like listen to you and understand your journey. Right. And understand that, like, you have, even though you take medication or you see therapy, you have good and bad days. It's not a cure. And that sometimes you're just feeling like the world is against you. So, yeah, most definitely. I feel a lot better. I feel that, like, before, like I said, with my dad and that, like, I just kind of put up with it, but now I'm starting to feel like I don't want to put up with it anymore and stuff. And I think like having you guys to talk to and to realize that like what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Like their treatment, they're not supportive. They're not, they just keep bringing me down.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't have to put up with that. And I mean, my sister, like she's on the other side of the world, and that she tells me all the time, right? That like, why do you still talk to them? That they're toxic, that they're narcissists. And so you guys were laughing because we laughed because I like made it to work the last 2 weeks without calling in, which is like sad, but yet a good, like a feat.
I was going to say,
that's a huge milestone.
Right. Yes. And part of it is because I want to change my situation. Mm-hmm. Because I want to actually like I have things I have to pay off, and it ain't going to be anytime soon, but I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Because I'm done with, I just want to walk away and not deal, talk to them anymore and not have them in my life because they don't appreciate me. Like, all their kids don't talk to them. I'm the only kid that still talks to them and, you know, is here if they need anything. And they just constantly like are treating me like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So they believe that the world owes them something and they're collecting it from you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when your situation improves, let's make it 3 weeks. when your situation improves, I think you're going to find that a lot of what you feel and what weighs you down is going to be gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to feel like hundreds of pounds leave your body. I wish. But like...
Yeah.
That'd be so nice.
But it's like, from my experience dealing with the toxic and the narcissist, when all was said and done, I was sitting at the kitchen table after I sent that email. You guys know the email I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. After I sent that email, and a day went by and I didn't get any response. And 2 days went by and I didn't get any response. And I checked my Facebook and they were still there. They're still active as a friend. I went, and it was just like 50 pounds fell off me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I took back my power. I told the narcissist exactly how I felt and that I was no longer going to apologize for the things that I didn't have to apologize for. I did nothing wrong. And their lack of response was everything I needed to know to say the friendship will never be the same. It may still be there. We may still be cordial. I can say I never got a greeting for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Which it kind of hurt because even when things were on the cusp of going bad, after shit went down, I still got that birthday greeting. This year it was, I remembered, but I didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay. I received that message. And you may have wrote very minimal words. I read a novel in that sentence. Mm-hmm. I understand that novel. I accept your novel. I will sign your contract. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the rest of my birthday week very happy. We went to Mexican Town for dinner on the Sunday. Then we went to an amazing drag show. And it didn't bother me. I didn't worry about it. It didn't bother me. It's done.
Slowly it fades.
Yes.
Slowly it fades.
They fade.
And that's what I'm hoping for you, is that when the time comes that you walk away.
See, I struggle.
Within weeks, you're going to feel that lightness, mm-hmm. that.
It's one of those things. I
struggle
like,
with guilt.
That's always the hardest part. Is that
because
you have
it's my dad.
you have to overcome that feeling of guilt, because that's the narcissist's greatest tool, is being able to manipulate you and make you feel guilty and like you shouldn't have the self-worth.
They are great at making me feel guilty. Trust me.
they are great. And that's what Taylor and I are saying, that guilt's going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You may not see it now, but that guilt, as soon as you sever ties, that guilt's gone.
It's amazing like how quickly it will actually just, it's like suddenly having weights tied onto you. And you knew they were there, but you didn't really know how heavy they were until you go and you cut the line, and all of a sudden you start floating up and you're like, oh.
You're like, okay. Pennywise's little red balloon, always floating.
Everything floats down here. There you go. So
that is honestly my hope for you, Joyelle, is that you feel what I felt. And that was, and I just basically, I didn't sever the tie, I just kicked it back. Yeah. I kicked it back to like an acquaintance mode.
I think mine needs to be severed.
Oh yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm and Taylor and I are willing to bring the scissors. And
I was just gonna say, I got those like I got the ceremonial big ass scissors that go snip snip, motherfucker.
It's gonna be like the grand opening ceremony where we're cutting the big red ribbon.
Yeah, my sister did it long ago, and I should have too, but I don't know why. Because of my guilt again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They always say hindsight is 20/20, right?
Yep.
Don't live your life in the I should have.
Yeah.
As I learned in therapy, don't shoulda all over yourself.
Yeah. So that's great. I'm trying to, like, even though it's a struggle to some days get into work because everything, like, right, because right now it's not even necessarily about work.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's not that I hate going to work or I hate my job, it's this other stuff that's just making me feel so down and so out and so worthless and helpless. And so I'm trying, and I know it's not going to be, you know, it's going to take me probably months to get things so I can get out of here, but I'm going to try and just keep that goal in mind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
Totally get that.
So back to something that you said a while ago. Specifically when it comes to friendships. For those of us with mental health issues, one of my nearest and dearest friends lives just a couple hours away over in Michigan.
Right.
And I'm sure she would love that in a fucking heartbeat.
I don't have a passport.
God what? Damn it, Peanut.
Oh. All right.
How are we going to go to Mexican town?
I know. I need 30 pounds of cheese.
We can just get her an enhanced driver's license, because that can also get you across the border.
Oh, seriously? Right. What's an enhanced driver's license?
There's some sort of extra like layer of security to it. And then you just show it and you get across the border. You can't use it for like airplanes or anything like that, but you can use it for going across the border. So we know the
Mexican
next thing.
Mexican town, here we come.
Huzzah!
30 pounds of cheese, here we come.
Oh, not for me, thank you. I'm not going through that again.
She has learned her lesson. So
my digestive system is just recovering. It's been a week.
So my friend over in Michigan, she listens to this podcast too, and she relates to a lot of it.
Hey,
and
girl, always gives me.
She always gives me fun little comments as she's listening to, like last week she was starting to catch up and she was listening to the one with me meowing at the cat. She's like, yeah, of course, it would be rude if you didn't. And this is why I love her. But her and I have talked about it a few times where it's weird how you kind of change as you get older, because she had talked about how when she was younger and like in high school, she was very outgoing and she could make friends super easily and find them. And there was no kind of hesitation to it. Like, it just went with the flow. It was easy to make friendships, versus now where she's like, okay, I feel anxiety about the thought of making friends or going out with them for hangouts. And I have to agree with her. Like, it's something that changes in you. I don't understand why, but it's like the anxiety builds up as you're an adult and suddenly you question everything about making friends and you forget how to do it. You're like, I used to be so good at this. I had loads of them. And then all of a sudden, as I got older, I was like, do you want to be a friend? Yes. Oh God. Oh God. You want to be a friend? You want to spend time together? Oh God. I don't know what to do anymore. And it's something that I've noticed even for myself with that, where it's like, okay, yeah, I love having friends and getting to know them and being tight friendships, but I find it hard to do at the same time. Or it's like trying to push outside of that comfort zone where it's like, okay, I used to be over there and my comfort zone shrunk up a lot.
I have more acquaintances.
Oh, well, I have loads of acquaintances.
I find I have a lot, like tons of, not people I necessarily say like are friends, like, because I consider friendship like something different. Like, it's, I value it. I find it like friendship is like, it's not just somebody you talk to at work. It's outside of work. It's, you share parts of your life with them. And that, like, they know things about you and stuff. And so I have a lot of acquaintances, people I talk to and that I know, but that I don't share like stuff with.
So do you find that that's more, or have, I suppose, have you found that that's more hindered because of your like anxiety or depression or anything like that, that you don't try and make them friends?
I think so. I think just as you get older, like you, I feel like I, again, because I'm more aware, like the rose glasses are off. And so you've been hurt more. You've been screwed over more. You realize life is unfair more. And I think you become more guarded.
Yes.
And that of who you let in, because you don't want to deal with the drama and stuff anymore. I think when you're younger, it's more, you value, maybe as you're younger, you value quantity over quality.
Yes,
I think so. Yeah.
As you get older, it's more quality over quantity. And so you're more skeptical and you're more guarded as to who you let in and who you tell your story to. Although I am in recent years find that I'm more open about my depression and stuff to people. I think because I want to maybe, like, I feel like maybe if they know, I can help them. Like, if that makes any sense. Like, they might feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Going on what you said, Taylor, about making new friends, and that internal battle with yourself.
Yes.
So when I worked at our workplace, yes, friends, I'm no longer there. When I worked at our workplace and I first went upstairs, I really didn't know anybody up there. And I kind of sat at a table all by myself. And then people just joined me, right?
Yes.
And we started talking to them. And then before I knew it, the table was full. There was like 7 or 8 people that sat at the table. And the one night we were on afternoons. And the talk was, you know, we should go to John Max after work for like beer and chicken wings. It's Thursday. It's 2-for-1. And I started sweating. Because I was like, oh my God, these people just invited me. I love food. I love chicken wings. These people just invited me out for food. Now they're going to watch me eat.
Yep. Yep.
What if they hear me crunching that carrot and I'm too loud? What if they say, oh my God, look at, she ate like 11 wings. What if? And it was like ridiculous. Like the first, I think it was the first 3 or 4 times I said, no, oh, I can't. I got to go home. Right. I got to give my cat a bath. My dog has fleas, whatever. You make up a whole shit ton of excuses. And then we created a group chat on Facebook. And we literally, the group chat is literally called Ain't No Thing But a Chicken Wing.
Oh, okay, yes.
And it would be like, John Max tonight, go for chicken wings, let's go. Let's go, okay. And I had to like pull my little rope and pull myself again out of the tar to say, yeah, I'm going for chicken wings. And it became like once every 2 weeks, or like when we were on afternoons, we would go for chicken wings. And it got to the point where Norv would say to me, are you going, like on Thursday, I'd get a text while I was at work. He'd be like, are you going for chicken wings tonight? I'd be like, yeah, I am. He'd be like, okay, Brendan wants to know if you'd bring him home. And then the orders would start pouring in.
So that's where it started.
Yes, that's where it started. Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. And it was nice because there was no judgment. There, nobody ever said anything to me about eating my boneless wings or crunching on my carrots or drinking my weird beer, stealing the glasses from John Max, whatever. You know, it was so nice to be in a group of people that weren't negative.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a negative person in that group. And I honestly felt like I was amongst my people when I was with them. If that, like, we may not have had the same taste in music, but or designer clothing or drives the same kind of, but it was just like I felt like I belonged. And the other groups of friends that I have, I didn't have that feeling. And it was because at times, and we had talked about it before, at times I made a mistake and became the butt of a joke that ran on for months and didn't need to. And although those people thought it was funny, and yeah, I laughed along, but I honestly, when I stopped laughing, they still didn't notice that I stopped laughing, and they continued. My chicken wing people were never like that. What a difference. They were my fuel.
Yes.
I feel they, like though we you are like in my head as far as when you're talking about first going out with them and your thoughts and that, because I think that all the time when I'm going out with some, like when somebody wants me to go somewhere or if I have to eat in front of people and stuff, and I think the same things, like I think like, are they gonna think if I order this that I'm a cow or that like I'm a pig, is it gonna slop out of my mouth,
Mm-hmm. Am I going to drop it on the front of me, which I do every time?
Me too.
Yes.
Yep. Are they going to think I ate a lot? Are they going to like hear me chewing? I have those like, and it causes anxiety, and
it does.
And, and then you don't want to go. You don't, you're like, you want to go, but oh, it's hailing out.
I was going to say, I can hear that from here. Holy crap.
See, yeah. Peanut, we really are joined at the hip.
I swear to God, I'm not just doing voices. There's three of us in here.
Yeah, so like and then it's like I really want to go, or you're like, man, I really want chicken wings, but you know, your fear or your negative thoughts and that overshadow they win out.
And I totally
how long it took me to go out for breakfast with you guys? I don't mean like Taylor, I don't mean you and Joyelle, but I mean Taylor, remember when you guys would go out for breakfast with the weekend crew?
Yep, I would say that took you a while to join.
And you guys would invite me, and I'd be like, oh, man, I fucking love breakfast, but I can't. I can't because I don't know these people. Well, I knew some of them. I didn't know all of them.
Yep.
I don't know these people. What are they going to think of me? Am I going to be the fattest one in the group? And they're going to be like, oh my God, look at her. She's a fucking hog. She ate eggs, Benny. Shouldn't she be watching her weight? Eat some fucking yogurt, you pig. You know?
Meanwhile, the only thing that I tease you about.
What's going on in my head?
Yep.
So, two things. Number one. Thoughts. This is why I tease you every time that we go somewhere, not because of you being fluffy, but because you order the same dish everywhere we go. And it makes me laugh hysterically because you look at the menu and it's like, you know damn well what you're going to get. I don't know why you're pretending to look at that menu. And secondly, intrusive thoughts all over the place.
Oh, absolutely.
And me, I can't make up my mind what I want.
You're indecisive. She's too decisive, but pretends to be indecisive.
like we've gone to Diwali's a few times now. Mm-hmm. And I always, you're right, Taylor. I always get the eggs Benny with the spinach. I don't get the meat. I get the eggs Benny with the spinach. But you don't know how many times I want to say, load me up with that fucking chocolate crepe. Throw on that chocolate sauce and that whipped cream. And then I think, I can't eat that. People are going to look at me and say, girl, you eat that. You're not fitting into those jeans anymore. And I get like, I humiliate myself.
Woman, you go ahead, you order that. I humiliate myself
out of eating a crepe.
I didn't even know they had that. Now I want it.
Oh, it's delicious.
But I cannot eat that much cream before going to work. Why does she keep running off the floor? It was worth it.
You can say no whipped cream. But it's like
what are those silly words?
Seriously, it's a giant fucking crepe that they put they fill with Nutella, peanuts, and then strawberries, bananas, and then they roll it up and then they drizzle chocolate sauce on it, more nuts, more fruit, and then like 1,000 pounds thousand pounds of whipped cream, and you only get one crepe, but believe me,
it's huge.
A grown man struggles to finish that crepe.
It's so good. See, now that I know that, now I'll be encouraging you to get that when we go, because
I won't you can encourage me all you want. Those intrusive thoughts are like fucking etched in stone in this noggin of mine.
See, for me, the issue is like, so back when my mom got sick, I want to say 7 or 8 years ago now, the first time, she got sick to the point of not being able to eat. Our dog died, and I ended up starting to get sick, not to the same degree as her, but I couldn't have solid food. I could only have protein shakes. So I had about 5 of those a day. And I had an issue with my swallowing mechanism. Like, it wouldn't register if I had room temperature food or drinks or anything like that. It wouldn't register that it was actually in my mouth, and I'd choke on it. So
it's choke on shit.
Giggity. But for me, the issue was I didn't want to go out once I started eating solid food again, I had to eat it very carefully, and I'd push it all to the front of my mouth. And I was very aware of how I ate. So I was like, okay, like I look weird as I do it. And I stopped. I purposely did not go out for breakfasts or meals or hang out with any of my friends or eat in front of any of them, because I had so many issues. Jesus Christ, you have the thunder, you have the hail, I have the wind from hell.
Well, I might have wind, I just can't see, the curtains are closed.
I have my window fan in and it's killing it.
I'm surprised I still have power, I'll be honest with you. Listen, yeah, I'm notorious for
Sozamusburg.
I'm waiting, I'm like, we have 15 minutes left, we can do this, don't go out, power. But so for me, I purposely didn't go out for meals with my friends. Like, they'd invite me out and I was like, ah, no, you know what? I can't make it out. I got to do something at home. I got to wash my hair, because I was very aware of the weird way that I ate. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me until the past couple of years, basically, where I feel comfortable enough to go out and eat in public again. And it's like, okay, you know what? I now know how I have to eat. Like, I have to focus a little bit more on my food so that way I don't choke on it, and yeah, make sure to have water.
You realize you do this a lot when you eat?
Yep. It's so that way nothing comes flying out. Because if you talk to me while I'm eating, you'll distract me from focusing on swallowing my food and not dying. So therefore I do this so that way it's like, stay in, focus on the food.
Don't die.
Exactly. It's like, do not choke.
There'll be no death.
You're just not used to swallowing.
Exactly. I was going to say, I didn't have the practice with it. So it's mind over matter. I'm like, I don't do this.
Uh-huh. Is it getting scary out in your neighborhood?
We're spicy today.
Jesus. Surprised you guys can't hear that.
It's sunny here now.
I can hear my own. I don't think it's sunny here. Well, I can't tell. I have blackout curtains. Sam has blackout curtains on her room. See your window?
See, that's how I like to do it, too. Jesus.
Jesus.
I think it's supposed to get windy, though.
Yeah, it's supposed to be windy, at least out here. It's supposed to be windy all day, so I'm just going to take that out of the window.
You know what we should do, Taylor?
There we go.
You know what we should do?
Become rich and have sugar daddies?
No.
Well yes. But
we should get Panda involved. And the four of us can recreate Stand By Me. We'll go on a hike and find a dead body.
Or create one.
I was just going to say, we'll find one, all right.
Oh, oops. I watch a lot of Dateline.
This dead body just magically appeared.
We can do it.
Honestly, officer, we did not try to cover up the murder.
This is exactly how we found it. The dogs were already eating it.
No fingerprints?
That's so weird.
Craziness.
But yes, I'm definitely up for doing... Wait a minute. Let me rephrase this. I'm definitely up for doing that, minus the dead body, so we don't become suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Okay. Well, then how about we just get Panda and we go on a road trip to Mexican Town?
Oh, I can guarantee he would so be down for that. First, we have to get her the enhanced license.
Yes.
Enhanced license for her so she can go back and forth between the countries. And then all of the food just goes in here.
Next Saturday, I have to confirm with my brother, but maybe we can do our podcast either on Good Friday. You guys are off that day, right?
Yes, and we are.
Because next Saturday, Taylor, I don't know if you remember him talking about it, going to Cleveland, Ohio to that horror themed restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yes, I remember him saying that now.
Yeah.
That looks so interesting.
If you had a passport, Peanut.
Now that's all we're going to be nagging her about. You don't owe rent. You have to get the enhanced license.
Yeah, that's sorry, Dad.
To be fair, this I don't think it's a huge expense.
Mexican town's a priority.
My mental health says, screw you, Dad. Starts sounding like teenagers up in here. But yes, that will work perfectly. And I can already think of one of our listeners, the one who listens to this the moment it drops. I can already guarantee that she's going to be like, yeah, it's coming out Friday. Going to get a message Good Friday. Why isn't it out yet? Why isn't it out yet? So yes, that works perfectly for me. We can do it the one day early, and that's the topic even going to be next.
Yeah,
next week's going to be, I think, an interesting one. I put it down because there's a little bit of backstory to it. There, I'm in a server on Discord that has it's all girls, so it's a place my friend made up for girl gamers, so that way we could all feel safe without having some of like the creeper guys that would come over and like, oh, you're a girl who games, hey, how are you doing? Exactly. Oh,
yeah. I love those when they jump in our games on Dying Light. It's like, go away.
You get out now. You leave. But one of the girls actually brought up, because they live stateside, and they actually still have quite a few school curriculums, schools, and banned books. So that's the topic, basically, for next week. And kind of talking about, like, how it's impacted, I'd say more like community mental health, just because of thinking of, like, I know growing up, like, there were banned books supposedly, or we read books that were banned once upon a time, and reading them and thinking like, it's so stupid to have these being banned. Like, you've now set the tone for all these generations to be like, oh, well, that's a banned book, so everything that's in that book means that that's not okay to have happen. So we can't let that happen in society. If someone does that in society, they're wrong. And so that's basically going to be the topic for next week, because it sparked a conversation in the server, and I'm like, oh, I feel heated about this.
Banned books.
Copied it down. Banned books, the kind of like the curriculums in the school, like things that they don't go over, religion versus.
I don't really know a lot about that.
Oh, that is okay.
Especially because I don't have kids. And
you got some homework, Peanut.
I was going to say, I know lots about it because of going to school. So you should know lots about it from just going to school.
Oh, my God. I like graduated in 94.
First, oh, my God, I was two.
And Peanut, I graduated in 90. I got you beat.
Like, what do you remember from school? I don't remember the curriculum.
The stone tablets and the chisel.
I remember I used to eat Cheese Whiz for
Oh,
Whiz Cheese. My dad called it Whiz Cheese.
Oh no, Joyelle died.
Oh no, her face is frozen in a smile.
Wonder if her power went out.
Maybe. Yeah, that is a good topic.
That's what I thought. Like, I can remember my friend bringing it up in the server, and we all talked about it back and forth, and just, it's a good broad kind of topic, and seeing how it affects the mental health of everyone. Obviously, like, what you learn in school is kind of what you carry throughout your life. So I'll be curious to hear what we all have to think about on think about on that. So apparently Joyelle hit her power cord.
Peanut, the talent has left us.
Oh my God, now there's proof. It's two of us still in here.
That's okay, we'll say goodbye for her.
Yes, I think it's all right. We're only 6 minutes early, so that'll be perfect. So obviously that's going to be next next week's episode. And definitely look forward to talking about that. And as always, if you want to reach out to us, or especially if you have any comments about next week's episode or any future episodes as we talk about them, Please don't hesitate to email us at depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We always look forward to hearing from you guys. And now I'll hand it over to Dana.
So, as you know, our podcast, our home is podomatic.com. And our podcast can be listened to on numerous
platforms.
Apps. Numerous apps such as iHeartRadio, Spotify. But yes, our home is podomatic.com. You can do a search for Depressed Breakfast Club. Sign up. It doesn't cost anything. It's free to get a basic membership. You don't have to do a podcast. You don't have to do anything. But in order to like or comment on our podcast, you do need to have a sign in. Your likes and your comments help keep us relevant and allow us to stay within the top 20 under the mental health tab, which means more people would see our name and more likely to click on our podcast and listen to us. So we would appreciate it if you guys could do that for us.
And I actually have a question about the likes and all that, because obviously we're across multiple platforms. Do the likes on the other platforms also get translated? Like, do they show up on things? Do they count? Like, should we be encouraging people to like and share on the other platforms if that's all they have?
So say Bob listens to us on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Bob likes us on Spotify. I can go to our page on Spotify and I'll see Bob's like. If he leaves us a comment, I'll see his comment.
I'm back.
Welcome back, Tina. So each platform has their own set of likes, followers, and comments. So if you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you can like there, you can comment there. I do go in and I check them on a bi-weekly basis to see how we're doing, to see if anybody's left any comments. But yeah, Podomatic, right now we have 5 followers on Podomatic. It would be great to have more. So like, if you followed us on Apple Podcasts, just take maybe 3 minutes out of your day, go to podomatic.com, sign up, find us, like us. Bob's your uncle. It costs you nothing. And it helps us stay relevant.
Perfect. Figured it would be good to have an explanation for that, for myself and for them.
Well, thank you very much.
Sometimes I'm just not a pretty face.
There you go. So on that note, we'll say our goodbyes for this week. We hope you enjoyed listening to us. Like Taylor said, drop us a line at depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys. Honestly, we would.
Mm-hmm.
Just like to yes. know people are out there listening to us.
Anyone and I think else? This week I'll encourage Joyelle to say goodbye before I hit the stop record.
Oh, yes, I'm back. And now I'm leaving. Goodbye.